This is Ashley Hodge with a Sikkim 365 podcast brought to you by the Field of 68 Network with Jeff Goodman and Rob Doster. And I'm solo today because we couldn't get Jason King connected. We've got power problems in Texas. The whole state is under some wintry weather and lots of power is out all over the state. And where Jason lives, that's one of the areas affected. So you got me solo today. So Adam Flagler's joining us, one of the bench mob, I guess you could say, the three guys that come off the bench and play a lot for the Bears, one of the fan favorites. You know, he's a cold-blooded killer off the bench with his ability to score from three levels, 3 points range, at the rim, mid-range assassin as well. So Adam, thank you, first of all, for being on the Field of 68 podcast. We really appreciate you doing this. Just want to start with asking you about your – career, you know, just where did you start? So you came from Georgia, right? And you chose Presbyterian. So I just want to hear a little bit about your story and why you chose Presbyterian coming out of high school.
Coming out of high school, only had one Division I offer. It was a lot of schools, Division II, NAIA, all types of schools you could think of that offered. But Division I schools were a little hesitant on offering me. And I really wanted to play at that next level, Division I. It was my dream. So I decided to commit to Presbyterian, and they were loyal to me, so I tried to stay loyal to them. And it was a great season, great freshman year. I built great bonds. But when my coaching, the whole coaching staff ended up leaving schools, I decided to enter my name in the transfer portal.
Right. And obviously, because of your freshman year, you averaged over 16 points a game. You were, you know, terrific in a lot of areas. You got a lot of attention, you know, and you were getting a lot of interest in the transfer market. So why Baylor? Why did you choose Baylor from that point on?
Baylor filled every possible thing you could expect as a transfer. The family environment, the academics, and me and my family being so heavy on academics with wanting to be a pediatrician. The location with my brother being half an hour away was very helpful in having family around. And just the faith aspect of being at Baylor was the pivotal part in my decision as I knew it was going to grow me spiritually and basketball was going to take care of itself.
So let me ask you about the pre-med track. I know that other players, I know Jared Butler was an engineering major and he had to change his major because of lab times. Have you run into that difficulty yourself? I mean, have you been able to continue down that track of pre-med?
I've definitely had to change a couple of things due to labs and everything. I'm still on the pre-med track, but I had to change majors to where it was less of a lab requirement, but I'm still working on getting that job done. So
awesome. So, you know, asking you about the faith aspect, I know we interviewed Coach Jakus, and I know he was instrumental in your recruitment. And I know you've told other people that, you know, that was one of the first things he asked you about. And he had a really strong connection with your family. And, you know, you just felt like a lot of trust was built up, you know, through that relationship. You know, what is unique about Baylor that maybe you didn't get at Presbyterian, or were they similar from that standpoint? I'm just curious the differences in the schools.
Presbyterian was considered a religious school, but it wasn't preached. It wasn't kind of a walk that Baylor has. They walk with a certain type of Christian mentality and continuing to be better as a Christian. Presbyterian was all voluntary, and I wouldn't say, well, this is for me. A lot of people don't like Christianity being kind of not forced, but continuing to pop up and continue to be talked about. But with me, I've been in the same spot as a Christian, and coming here to where we pray, we have Bible study every week. We have Bible study with just our coaches on the road. Like, those examples have really just allowed me to learn and be around a community rather than me being an individual at a Christian school.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. So I know that Jeff Goodman had interviewed you, and he gave us some quotes that you said. And one of the reasons you chose Baylor was because you came and you practiced against Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell, Maceo Teague. And he said that you didn't score. you had trouble getting buckets, I think was the way he put it. And then you said, this is the place for me. You know, I know I can get better here. And I know that this will really challenge me, not only spiritually, like you mentioned, but also as a player. You know, what is it about you that you embrace that challenge? You know, a lot of guys would go places, they'd see all the good guards and they'd be like, I want to go somewhere where I'm going to get a lot more minutes. But you kind of embrace this as, hey, this is where I can get better.
I've been, I guess you could say at Presbyterian, I was considered one of the best of the best in the conference. And coming out when I was able to go to Baylor, not being able to score as easy at the workout was like, okay, this is something that I need to get on that next level and to be better. So just my competitive nature, wanting to be better in every aspect of my game, I knew that coming here, I could be able to pick everybody's brain. I could be able to play against them. And I knew that they were high caliber guards and I wanted to be at that level someday. So I've always been taught, if you want to grow, if you want to be a part of the best of the best, you have to hang around. You got to be involved with the best of the best. You can't be around certain circles that aren't on the same mission as you. So that's why I kind of thought this was the perfect place for me.
Yeah. And just from that standpoint, I know we live in an instant gratification world, and you know, there's so many guys that don't understand that, you know, having a redshirt year, being able to really take time to develop your game and you know, just off the court, you know, do you think that was really instrumental in your development, just being able to have that year where you just focused on getting better all year last year?
It definitely was big. I think since 4 years old, I've never had a complete, like, stop of playing basketball. So it was really good to be able to just watch and assess and just learn a lot more about myself and learn a lot more about my game. But it was a perfect time to just study and be able to focus solely on myself. And it was just a great time. And I just appreciate God allowing me to get through the tough times, because obviously it's tough with not being able to play for such a long period. But God was just preparing me for times like this where I'm out there playing with them and I'm out there just thriving. We're all just playing hard and winning at a high level.
Right. You know, I remember we interviewed Freddie Gillespie, and Freddie gave us a day in the life of a student athlete. And so I would love to hear that from you, because, you know, I know that, you know, the balance and the time management skills that you have to have as a student athlete just, I'm sure, test you every day, especially with COVID and all the disruptions that happen. You know, so what is a typical day for you? Maybe even during this 2 week plus pause, you know, what are you spending your time watching a lot of film? I mean, how do you balance schoolwork? What does a day look like for you typically?
So I start class 8 a.m. And since COVID, I've been able to have more classes online, so that's a plus. Mm-hmm. But I start class 8 a.m. Going to probably about 11 o'clock. And then after that, immediately I head to the gym. And right now with everything, I would usually work out before and then have practice. And then after that, I would get treatment, do a little bit more homework, and then come back and just shoot. So that would fill the whole day up. And as you see, there's no leisure time for that. Like, literally practice is 3 to 4 hours a day. So that's from 2 to 6. Plus we have weight. So that's tremendous. That uses a lot of energy. Right. And after that, you have to make sure, obviously, the coaches give us encouragement to do extra and to get in treatment. But the only way we're able to play, and the only way we're able to continue to play with this stop and go, and it's treatment. So we've been focusing a lot on getting treatment as a team. So after practice, a lot of us are in there and we kind of have to wait. So that's even more time with COVID protocols. We all can't be in at the same time.
Right.
So we'll end up looking at the clock and it'll be like 7 o'clock. And then we're going to get something to eat, we're working on our homework for as much as possible. If we're able to finish, then we're right back head to the gym, 9:30, getting up shots. Then we repeat it all over again. So
where does the film like study come in? Is that specifically?
The film is before. So our coaches, we ask a lot to watch it with the coaches. And a lot of times a few of us, I would say John, Davion, they love to watch film with the graduate assistants.
Right.
So a lot of times if we have gaps in between our classes or just right before practice, before we work out, we're literally just sitting in there chatting with them, picking their brains, watching their film. And sometimes even depending on how practice is, if we feel we did bad at practice or the coaches feel we didn't do good at practice, they will tell us like right after practice, come up, watch some film, then go get treatment. And then I have so much on my phone that Coach Drew or Coach Jake is just sending me film for me to watch, because a lot of times, in my perspective, I don't like being the one to constantly be coached and coached and coached. I'd rather me assess it myself, and then they ask me, what did I see?
Right.
We have an actual conversation rather than just coaching, because that just – it doesn't work for me. It might work for other people, but I like to communicate both ways. So that's kind of how it is. It's a stressful day, but it's definitely worth it when you see that W on the other side after the games.
Yeah. So, you know, I know Coach Drew has joked about how, you know, someone on the team has broken up with a girlfriend to make sure you're staying within the COVID protocols. I mean, do you have time for friendships and girlfriends and relationships, or is that like an off season thing? I mean, it sounds like it's really difficult just to, you know, have any time other than what you just said, you know, school and basketball.
It's definitely difficult. And, for some of us, we try to work as hard as possible to keep those relationships and everything. But I would say majority of the people on the team do not have a lot of relationships. And in my opinion, I have a girlfriend, but I encourage it for them to just lock in and focus and just do what they got to do, because it takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy. And on the other side, there are the people that are on the other side of the relationship. They have to do a great job of just being understanding. And in my case, I have people like that, so it's a lot more easier for me. But yeah, it's definitely a tiresome thing to have to deal with after putting basketball in schools first. It's tough.
Right. I know I think it was us, maybe it was another interview that Coach Tang did, but he mentioned that you're a guy that you've been just busting through paper ceilings. He said, you know, you're just like your potential and what you're able to accomplish. I mean, you're just like, you know, the ceiling just keeps rising. You know, as far as, I mean, what are your eventual goals? I mean, I mean, obviously all guys want to play in the NBA, right? Is that a goal? And then be a pediatrician after a professional basketball career? Is that the game plan for Adam Flagler?
That definitely is the game plan. The MCAT requires a lot of studying, a lot of time. So obviously with basketball and everything, my first objective is to remain a student athlete, but to push for this goal, because at the end of the day, the basketball stops dribbling eventually. But being able to take the MCAT, I will always be able to take the MCAT at some point in time.
Right.
So when the time is there, I will definitely be studying for that. And trying to go back to school and become a pediatrician.
Right.
That's the perfect view of how my life is going to go.
You know, I know we hear a lot of catchphrases in the Baylor program: joy, Jesus, others, yourself, 1% better. You know, these are some of the phrases I hear the coaches talking about. You know, what does it mean to you to be in this culture? And you know, you've already described it in some terms, but this mentality of, you know, always cheering on your teammates and excited for each other's success and you know, really trying to implant a culture of unselfishness in the team. You know, what have you seen what is constantly reinforced on a daily basis from the people that you play with and are coached by?
I would say that a lot of times it doesn't even have to be reinforced. Coach Brooks does a great job of continuing to bring up same old boring habits. Right. And that has become a boring habit, you would say, for our team to be so selfless and to be a stickler and encouraging each other and just being exciting for each other. Because we've all seen each other in the gym working out so many hours. We've all been together working out so many hours. This has been a crazy season. So it just makes winning so much sweeter knowing that we have a great group of guys that just want to see all of us win. And when we win at a high level, all of us get the achievement, all of us get the recognition. So that's what we strive for. We never want to leave any of our brothers behind. We never want to not have all of us as one coming up. And it's just so exciting being able to be a part of a team like that.
So. Yeah. You all have met every challenge that's been in your way so far this year, but obviously bigger challenges lie ahead. You know, as far as where does, you know, Baylor's already been compared. I think Dick Vitale and Shambi during the Texas game compared Baylor to the 1991 UNLV team, which was an incredible team. And you know, Gonzaga and Baylor have been compared to some of the best historic basketball teams out there. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of others that, you know, should be in this conversation as well. But, you know, where does Baylor need to get better? I mean, where do you think we need to improve in order to reach the goals and eventually win the Big 12 championship first and then win a national championship?
Our main emphasis is on attention to detail. We've set out kind of the game plan. We know how to guard. We know how to score the ball. We just have to be more focused on locking in on those details, especially with defensively and knowing a scouting report. It helps so much. The coaches and the graduate assistants put so much time in to make the scouting report that it gives us a big edge when we get out there on the court. So knowing what guys go certain ways, knowing what guys can shoot, it just makes it so much easier. And it allows us to play a little bit more freely because we know if we make a mistake, that next person behind us that's helping us out knows their strengths so they can stop that man. But offensively, we are pretty skilled, I would say. We have a lot of talented guys, but it just goes back to that selfless community, that selfless culture that we have. As long as we continue to work on that, as long as we continue to thrive and continue to focus on that, the game gets a lot more simple because there's not a lot of teams that can guard a whole boatload of guys that are very skilled on the offensive level. So it's definitely a process, and we're definitely going to continue to push. And we're excited. We're excited to get back out there. I miss all my guys. I miss having practice. A lot of times people complain about practice. Even I'm not going to lie, that sometimes they're like, man, I'm tired.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, the amount of times that we get to spend together, it's just memories, it's just exciting times, and it just prepares us for that last moment that we want to get to, and that's the championship. So,
yeah, awesome. All right, so I want to spend the last few minutes asking you about yourself and some of the things that you love. So, you know, first of all, let me ask you about food. This is normally a question that Jason King will ask, but like favorite restaurants in Waco, if you have to go one place to eat, what's your choice?
I couldn't say a specific one. I like the Union Hall and all that it has to offer.
Yeah.
Amazing food place. I went one time to this place, I think it's called 1424 Bistro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a lot of times, obviously, we're not able to sit out and eat and everything, but I'm definitely wanting to go back and try that place again. I was a little bit hesitant going to a new restaurant, not knowing exactly what to eat, but with a lot more reviews, a lot more people telling me about what to choose, I'm definitely excited to go back there. So I would have to say that place.
Awesome. All right. So if you have some free time, sounds like you don't have too much during the season, but Like if you have 2 hours and you've got to do something relaxing, how do you spend it?
I would say probably go fishing. Probably go fishing.
Yeah.
Probably in the past year, I've went fishing more than I ever have. A lot of times when I was younger, I went out with my dad and we would go fishing and everything. But the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that it's such a peaceful time, and it's fun to just be relaxed out there and enjoy nature and just sit and talk. So that would definitely be one that if I had more time, I would definitely do a lot more often.
Has Coach Drew been able to take you out yet? I know he's a big fisherman.
Coach Drew has not been able to take me out. I think the one time he took a couple of the guys out, I wasn't here over the summer last year, but we'll definitely be checking that off the bucket list.
That's great. All right. Favorite subject in school. What class has made the biggest impact on you? Maybe not necessarily even in your major, but have you had a class at Baylor that really struck a chord with you?
Well, right now I'm taking a lot of anatomy classes. I would say, even though it's a very hard subject, I would say over time that I've started to like more calculus and statistics. I like challenges, I like problems, but I like to be able to write it, write each equation down and eventually get to that answer after 4, 5, 6 steps. But I don't know. It makes me feel very intelligent being able to get through those questions. Yeah. They are very tough at times. So yeah, I would say calculus.
That's awesome. All right. You talked about your faith and how important that is to you. Is there any book or preacher or something spiritual that you would recommend to people that has really made a big impact in your life?
I would say right now, since I'm not able to go to church and everything, but listening to the Michael Todd's podcast, obviously it's some people may not like it, but for me being younger, he definitely hits me in certain ways that a pastor, I won't say the name because he's still a great pastor, but a pastor back home that I used to go to didn't really get my attention as much. And I would say that having a Christian community is very big. Having even just a few friends, like me being able to every week talk to Coach Jacobs and have Bible study and just stop from talking about basketball as much and just talk about both of us as an individual and how we strive to be better Christians.
Right.
That's so important in someone's life, and just having kind of an accountability partner is big, and I just hope that everybody can eventually find that.
Awesome. And I'll close it out with this, but do you have a favorite memory from the season? Maybe on the court, off the court? Yeah, what sticks out as you think about the season so far?
Favorite memory? I don't know. My favorite memory would probably have to be every time that they've had us losing a game, and the coaches have done a great job of kind of like fueling us and showing us certain things. So what was it? The Illinois game where we won, that was exciting. And it was kind of the start to us acknowledging how special we could be.
Right.
What game was it? I think the Texas game, the last game, was a big one, because it was, even though there weren't a lot of fans, it was definitely a game that we got up for and were exciting for, and there were a lot of teams that, not a lot of teams, a lot of people that believed that we weren't going to come in there and win the way that we did.
Right.
So that was definitely an exciting one. Texas Tech was rowdy, man.
Yeah.
That was literally easily the best crowd that I've been a part of this year. So
they're not adhering to the 25% rule, are they?
No, they didn't. But it was a great game. It was really exciting, the big time energy in there. So that would be the top one.
Well, Jason and I were in Indianapolis and we watched that Illinois game together, and you know, we had media passes, so we had to try to pretend like we weren't really rooting hard for you. But every time you made a play in that second half, we kind of looked at each other and our eyes got real big, and you know, we kind of gave each other that look like, man, this, you guys are killing it. I mean, that second half was something beautiful for sure. So great memory. Well, Adam, thank you so much. This was a great interview. And you've been listening to the Sikkim 365 podcast through the Field of 68 Network with Ashley Hodge and Jason King, who was unable to join us today due to some weather problems. And Adam Flagler was our guest. Sikkim Bears.
Sikkim Bears.
Thank you.
Thank you.